It's great to see you. Really wonderful to see you. Thank you to those of us who are, or to those of you who are joining us online today for your ongoing faithfulness on YouTube. And we're so glad that you could join the service as well. Those some of you would know that this is also available on podcast. Some people are listening to this service today via translation, either in Mandarin or also in Korean. And we're so grateful for the people that make those services available to others. Just before we begin, I want to just give you a little bit of an update about a series that we're going to start talking about next Sunday, and that we've entitled it Mending. Mending. And it's going to be primarily around talking about how is it that we can mend some of the relationships that need some attention in our life. Because here's what I know. Some of you have spent way too much time with some people in your life in these last 2 years, right? Way too much time. And there has been some wear and tear over these times, and you just need some attention to the relationship. For others of you, it's the opposite. You have not heard from some people, and you're carrying around maybe a little bit of hurt or a little bit of disappointment about all of that, and you're not really sure about how to deal with all. Some of you have had to turn some people off in your family, right? In these last couple of years, there's been a lot of issues for which you could take a very strong opinion on. And maybe some family or some friends or some coworkers have held some really strong opinions about some issues, and you've just had to turn them off, right? And now that things are starting to change, you're wondering, how is it now that I relate to these people? Do we even still have a friendship? And so we're going to be talking over these next few weeks about how is it that we pay attention and mend some relationships that needs some attention. And this is part of our calling as disciples, so we're learning to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but are also learning how to love each other well. And the challenge for this series, and let me just be upfront with it at the front end, is that this is not about changing other people or convincing other people how to live differently. We will be turning the spotlight solely on ourselves and looking at how are the things that I need to change in my own life. So we are going to have some fun. We will be providing throughout the series as well some opportunities to get away with some leaders and to talk about some of these issues in a smaller setting if that would be helpful to you. So, but today, Easter Sunday, we're going to continue or finish up our series looking at different encounters that people had with Jesus. The scriptures include four biographies of the life of Christ, and in each of those biographies capture some encounters that people had with Jesus of Nazareth. Some of them seem by chance, someone's passing through and they have an encounter with Jesus, and that encounter changes their life, changes it for good. That they were heading one direction, then they have an encounter with Christ and their life is now heading in a brand new direction. And some of you have had experiences like this. You had in your own life was going a certain way, you were heading along a path, and somehow, some way, you had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ as well. Maybe it was a friend invited you to something. Maybe you started reading the scriptures, or you came to a group that was going on, or you had someone in your home that was sharing Christ with you. But you yourself had your own personal encounter with Jesus, and it was life-changing. And your life was kind of going one direction, and now it went another. Now, it doesn't mean you became instantly perfect or instantly religious or instantly better. But over time, slowly, as you read scriptures, as you prayed, as you interacted with other Christians, you started to experience a transformation in your life from the inside out. And that's what Jesus wants for each of us here today, even as we reflect on the story that we're going to look at. And there's numerous accounts of people having encounters with the risen Christ. The one that I chose today, I was captivated by it because of the contrast. So on one hand, you've got the resurrection of Jesus. Now, the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of Christian faith. It's the absolute foundation. If Jesus was not resurrected from the dead, then Christianity would not exist. There would be a story about some guy from Nazareth. He told some wonderful stories, was incredibly compassionate and merciful, very controversial, and he died, and that would be the end of his story. But the fact that Jesus was raised to life, the claim of a bodily resurrection of Jesus, is the foundation upon which Christianity is born. It's not based on a tradition. It's not even based on the Bible. The Bible tells us the story of what happened in the resurrection. And so this resurrection is so foundational. But then on the other hand, you've got accounts of people who weren't so sure about it. We've got accounts of people who heard the stories and they walked away from it, as we are going to look at today. And it's in this tension between these two realities that I think some of us find ourselves, or where we can find new faith in our faith to grow together. Now, the issue with these disciples, and that we're going to look at in the story, is that Jesus actually was crucified on a Roman cross, publicly shamed, and died. And in their imagination, there was no room for this to happen to their Messiah. Messiahs were the good guys. These kind of evil things did not happen to them. So they're in a situation of wrestling. Let's look together at Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. If you're using one of the Bibles in the seats in front of you, it's on page 1642. If you're looking it up on your phone, it's Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Allow me to read this encounter for you today. Now, that same day, so the day that Jesus was resurrected, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, that is, all the events around Easter. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, this is not uncommon in the gospel accounts where someone encounters the resurrected Jesus. They did not physically recognize him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and you do not know the things that have happened in these last days? I mean, have you been living under a rock?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. What's more, that in addition to this," sorry, I've lost my place here, "but they had hoped that he would be the one who is going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women have amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said. But him, they did not see." Now, what strikes me as I read this encounter is the direction that the disciples were heading. They were leaving Jerusalem and going towards Emmaus. Jerusalem was where all the events around Easter weekend took place. It's where Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room, where he shared the Lord's Supper with them, and where he gave them a new commandment to love each other. It's where Jesus was arrested and betrayed by one of his own. It's where he was found guilty and crucified on a Roman cross next to two thieves. It is where he was buried. All of this happened in the city of Jerusalem. And they are walking away from all of it. Because to them, messiahs don't get crucified and died. They were done. And who would be honest? Who would blame them? Let's be honest. No one was anticipating that Jesus was going to be raised to life. Even though he predicted it 3 times, no one was expecting Jesus to come back to life. If they were, outside of the tomb would have been bleachers filled with people. There would have been a marching band and popcorn and people doing hot dogs and people selling resurrection t-shirts. And the jets would have been just hanging out nearby waiting for Jesus to come out of the tomb so they could fly over at the same time. Nobody was there. In fact, the only people that went to the tomb on that day went there to care for Jesus' dead body. And Luke captures their disappointment. They're walking, and the language Luke uses here is that they're in an intense conversation. They're downcast. Maybe they're thinking, how am I going to go home and explain to my wife that I spent the last 3 weeks following this rabbi around, doing everything he said, listening to everything he said, only to watch him get killed and die, and I spent all of this money for nothing. They're snarky with Jesus when he speaks to them. They're upset and disappointed. And it's their faith in God that's disappointing them. They're disappointed because they had trusted God and they didn't turn out to do what he wanted them to do. Maybe they'd been captivated by his miracles. Maybe they'd been captivated by his teachings on the kingdom of God. Maybe they had been captivated by the grace and mercy that he showed all kinds of people in their day. But then he dies and it's over. And they're walking away, disappointed. Now, I love that Luke and other gospel writers don't remove these accounts, but they keep them and they show them to us in these passages. I love that they share these stories. Some of you, if you've grown up in the church, would remember a passage of scripture that's kind of so foundational to a local church and to our outreach, and that is the Great Commission. That Jesus, just after he had been resurrected, had given a last teaching, a last pep talk, a last set of instructions for the church to follow as they went out into the world. Let me just remind you of how it goes. Jesus said this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you right to the end of the age." Isn't that a wonderful passage? It captures our mission as a local church. But do you know what the verse is right before that verse? Where Jesus is standing, resurrected, ready to commission the people to go off and to do what he's called them to do. It says this, "When they saw Jesus, some worshiped him and some doubted." Jesus is resurrected, standing there in front of him. Some are worshiping and some are doubting. And Matthew keeps it in. Maybe someone said to him, "Hey, don't leave those doubters in there. Scrub them out of the story. We don't want them having any time or attention in this account." But they're there. And they're there for a reason. Because if you are a person of faith and have sincere faith and are wrestling with what it looks like to follow Jesus and to surrender your life fully to him, chances are you've had some questions, some doubts, or some disappointments along the way as well. And when we read this story, we realize that your story is included in the resurrection accounts of Jesus. Let's keep reading, starting at verse 25. So these guys are doubting, they're disappointed, and Jesus says to them, a little sharp back to them after they had dug him, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ or the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them all that was said in the scriptures concerning him." And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. This is a normal Middle Eastern pattern. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, and this is kind of where this wonderful encounter takes a lovely turn, he broke bread. He gave thanks, and he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us? Will he talk to us on the road?" And he opened the scriptures. Wasn't there something going on inside of you? There was something going on inside of me when this guy was speaking to us. And they realize now that the resurrected Jesus had walked 11 kilometers with them as they wrestled with their doubts. Now, this encounter, there's so many things that strike me about it. The first is where Jesus chooses to spend his time after he's resurrected. Now, I'm immature, so if I had been resurrected, I immediately would have gone to Tiberius Caesar's home to show up for coffee. I would have gone to Pilate's house. I would have gone to anybody who had had contact with me and charged me to death and just shown up to say hi and say, "Hey, it was great. The weekend was wonderful. Nice to see you again." Just to mess with them, okay? But that's me. Jesus chooses to go for an 11-kilometer walk with two people who are disappointed with God and who are really walking away from their faith. That's where he chooses to spend his time. He goes looking for them. This is not a new theme from the very beginning of scriptures. God has gone looking for people who are worn out, who are disappointed, discouraged, and who are lost. It's the very essence of Jesus' life that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. And we see him doing it again, even in after resurrection. He goes once again and he goes looking for these two disciples. But it's what he does with them when he finds them that's so amazing to me. He takes time to walk through the Old Testament scriptures and help them understand things that they did not understand and things that maybe they did not see originally. They were struggling so much with this idea that a Messiah would die. And he goes through the scriptures and he shows them all the references and points, passages that point to the fact that Jesus had to die in order to bring salvation to the world. He takes time with them. This was not a religious evangelistic drive-by shooting where he waves a nail-scarred hand out the window and calls at them and goes on. No, he walks with them for over 2 hours, helping them understand because he's interested in resurrecting their faith. Jesus wants to resurrect their faith and to help them believe. And then there comes that moment where they see him. And they realize that all along, while they were walking with all of their doubts and frustrations and disappointments, that Jesus was there with them each step of the way. It's what I loved in the video that we watched earlier in the service. That in the midst of all the challenges and all of this, the disappointments and frustrations of these last 2 years, when we stop and look, we recognize God was there. He was walking with me, and I saw him in the little things, and I saw him in the medium-sized things, and I saw him in the big things. But he was there with me all along. And my hope for you on this Easter weekend is you take some time, that you would take some time to reflect and look for the ways that God has been active in your life as well. But I recognize that not all of you are there yet. You aren't running back to Jerusalem, hearts full of faith, ready to go. Jesus is risen. I have experienced him. Some of you are still in the place where these disciples found themselves initially, walking away. Confusion, disappointment, uncertainty. And so can I be so bold today as to give you a prayer to pray, if that's kind of where you find yourself on this Easter Sunday? And it's a prayer that actually comes right from the passage that we read. It's actually the words that the disciples themselves used when they asked Jesus to stay with them. It's words that actually have been used in monasteries and retreat centers around the world for hundreds of years, that people have prayed in seasons where they're living in a tension. On one hand, they've got disappointment and loss and uncertainty. But on the other hand, they're captivated by Jesus. They've got this little bit of faith. They've had some experiences, but they're living in between these two worlds, and they don't know what to do about it. It's a prayer that you can pray if you're just in a season of not being sure, and words that I hope that God will use to speak to your heart. And it's just simply this: stay with me, Lord. Stay with me, Lord. As I walk this road, stay with me. Even as I walk away from you, stay with me. As I try to figure out what to do with these hurts and disappointments that I've got in my life and where I'm questioning your existence or your goodness, stay with me. Stay with me as I walk this road. It's a prayer that I pray, that I ask that you would pray for yourself as you continue on in your spiritual journey, and that the Lord would use it to stir your heart and to open your eyes, that you would see who he truly is. Now, this journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus was walked by these two disciples. It's been walked by lots of people who are trying to find their way in faith. So let me just conclude with a final story this morning. In the 1950s, there was a very kind of popular news columnist at the time, worked for the British Broadcasting Corporation. He was edgy, left-leaning, larger-than-life, a little bit cantankerous, critic, a womanizer, and he was really critical of all kinds of institutions. He was very, very critical about the British government. He was very critical about the royal family. And he, in particular, was really critical about churches and spent his time and energy and skills using to criticize all of them. In fact, he was known one time to really pounce on an atheist who'd written about churches and was just kind of nice to churches for a little bit. And he pounced on them saying there's nothing good that's come from faith. He's probably most famous for making Mother Teresa famous. On a trip to India, he was fascinated by this unknown nun and who was giving her life to the poor. And so as he interviewed her, he was so captivated and something started to stir in his heart. He wrote this, "The light of God illuminated the nun's wizened face." I'm sure she appreciated that description. "And when I saw her complete trust in God, I saw the pathetic condition of my own cynicism." Something started to burn in his heart. A few months later, he had to travel to Israel to do a documentary about Christianity, and he was walking the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And on that walk, God met him in a powerful way, and something supernatural changed in his heart. And he wrote this, "The road to Emmaus is a road that must be walked in one sense by everyone who would become a true Christian. The walk started out in disbelief and sadness. It ended in joy, excitement, love, and true devotion." It was the story of the disciples. It was the story of Malcolm Muggeridge. Maybe some of you today would say that has been the journey that you've been on as well. So I don't know where you're at today. And I don't know the condition of your faith as you come here on this Easter Sunday morning. I don't know if you're running towards Jerusalem, hearts full, grateful for God's power at work in your life, or if you're just kind of quietly walking away with all kinds of questions and unsure. But here's what I do know. Jesus has come to resurrect your faith. He has come to walk with you, to help you resurrect your faith. And it's my prayer and hope that you would be open to that journey, that you would be open to him opening your eyes and opening your heart to experience his life giving power in your life today. Allow me to pray for us. God, we thank you for these encounters that people had with you that changed their life. And God, we know that it is your desire to meet us in a life-changing way as well, to help us to see the ways our own brokenness and sin are moving us in a direction towards death, and that how an encounter with you invites us to life, life now and life in eternity. Lord, I recognize today that there's going to be people watching, there's going to be people here in the room today who are walking away from you, who are discouraged or disappointed, or have had some experiences that have left them wondering. Lord, would you give them a boldness to pray, "Stay with me, Lord. Stay with me in this journey that I am on." Lord, for each of us today, we pray that you would resurrect our faith, that you would help our eyes to see the goodness of God and his mercy and grace directed towards each and every one of us, and that we could put that goodness on display for the whole world to see. We thank you again for this Easter Sunday that we can share together, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.